Welcome to WebAx, practical web accessibility tips.
WebAx.blogspot.com.
WebAx. Website accessibility. Web standards.
Welcome to WebAx Podcast 72, Twitter, events, and news. This is your host, Dennis.
And I'm your co-host, Ross.
Welcome back, Ross.
Why, thank you, Dennis. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Took the boys to Starbucks this morning already, so started off the day right.
Nothing like caffeine and sugar to start off a nice Sunday. Afternoon.
That's right.
I guess morning. Is the weather pretty nice there?
Oh, it's awesome. It's totally sunny, like 72 degrees.
Oh, that's perfect. Perfect. Yeah, it's sunny here too. It's a bit warmer than that. And I biked downtown to meet my dad for brunch and got quite sweaty on the way. Could have been like 5 degrees cooler.
Is it muggy there in Michigan?
You know, it's not too bad. Yesterday was horrible because it just recently rained, but it's definitely, for Michigan, it's not bad.
Good, good. Yeah, it's real nice here in Northern California. We had one really hot spell like a few weeks ago, and that's been it so far.
Well, sounds pretty good then.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get to some discussion. We have not too much news to talk about later because we have so much other stuff to talk about. Some events and all kinds of stuff going on with Twitter and accessibility. But first, I wanted to mention that I finally, added the a Twitter icon to the WebAx website. And I started a Twitter account, I don't know, a few months ago. And so check that out. It's just WebAxe is the username on Twitter, and it's going pretty well. You know, I do like 2 or 3 posts a day with just really, you know, relevant things that I find, and I think it's a good feed to follow.
Yeah, if you're interested in web accessibility, you should definitely follow it. So what Twitter client do you use?
Accessible Twitter, of course.
Ah.
So, but as far as the, like, desktop versions, I really like, TweetDeck, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
And then Destroy Twitter. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard of that one, but I haven't tried it yet.
That one's really good, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but as far as I know, they're not really accessible.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that later.
Definitely.
And then on a disappointing note, I want to say I didn't get hardly any feedback on the new WebAx theme song. What did you think of it? I like it a lot.
Yeah, me too. I think maybe everybody liked it so much that they were just lost for words.
It was just either that or it was just so professional sounding that they, you know, didn't realize how much effort it went into for me to write that. No, I didn't write it. My lifelong friend from school, Jeff Ensign, wrote and performed and recorded that with his wife. So it turned out great. So check it out.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Dennis, you used to be in quite a few bands, weren't you?
Yeah. Growing up since like 4th grade through high school, and then a little bit in college, and then I played some solo acoustic in Orlando later on, and now I'm playing a lot of AC/DC on my electric guitar with my kids. Have fun jumping around.
So you're going to shape them into your own band at some point, right?
Yeah. So anyways, well, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably heard the new theme song, so let us know how you like it. I just wanted to mention, because I've been using this browser a lot lately, Opera 10 beta, I guess, just came out recently. I haven't tried it yet, but I've been using Opera 9 a lot lately. I'm really liking that browser, and that is one of the more accessible web browsers out there.
Oh, it's pretty good.
As far as I know. Yeah, it's fast, man. Real fast.
Yeah, every once in a while I try a new version. I usually end up missing a version or two. There's so many good browsers out there now. I mean, the new version of Safari is good. Firefox is obviously good. The Opera browser is good. And Chrome just came out for Mac, too. And that's a good
one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chrome is good.
Yeah.
You know, it depends what you want to do.
Yeah.
And what your preferences are. But, I mean, Chrome is cool. It has that incognito.
Right.
Like thing. So nobody can trace like your files and stuff or your history.
Right, right.
Incognito mode. But I mean, I love Firefox. I have 2 Firefox t-shirts. I have all the add-ons and stuff. But you know, it seems like it's kind of a memory hog.
It is. It's always had this like weird memory leak thing that like the longer you run it, like it just your computer gets slower and slower and slower. So
yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Okay. Gripe. Where are the headings? I've come across, I didn't even write down any links because I came across so many articles recently, especially articles about web accessibility, that don't have subheadings. Like, you know, there's obviously a heading for, you know, and usually it's marked up properly for the title of the article. But so many times it'll be like 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 paragraphs, and then there won't be any subheadings.
Yikes.
I know, it's driving me insane.
And they're not
only
print articles,
I mean, because
that have been like moved to the web or anything like that.
I don't think so. But I mean, you know, it's bad for web accessibility and especially like, you know, usability. I mean, you know, I want to see subheadings so I can, you know, scan the document and so forth.
Right, right. I don't think that I would read any article that was, you know, more than 4 or 5 paragraphs without subheadings.
Right, it's like all you see is a whole bunch of text. It's like, I'm not just going to, you know, read this whole thing. How much time do you think I have? Oh, hey, so please, for at least accessibility's sake, make sure you have subheadings in there and mark it up properly with your H2s, 3s, and 4s. Okay, I just want to plug Audio Boo by Paul Boag that he came out with recently. It was really funny. Eulogy for IE6. Have you heard this?
No, I heard about it.
You gotta go listen to it later. It's funny. So, yeah, of course, I'll post a link on the blog.
Does that mean IE6 is dead? We don't have to support it anymore?
No, but it's dying slowly. But
I guess the hot term is graded browser support.
Oh, really?
It will work on IE6, but it doesn't have to look good. Seems like that's what all the web slebs are saying should be done.
Well, you don't have to worry about that, because you got a new MacBook Pro.
Yep. So I finally broke down. I had, you know, just the plain MacBook, you know, the white version for a while. Mm-hmm. I think they call it the bar of soap version, because it looks like a bar of soap. But finally went and bought one of the kind of machined aluminum fancy 17-inch ones, and the next week was the Apple conference where they announced that they released a much better one. So that's what I get for not being patient.
Yeah, you always got to wait until after the Mac conference.
Yeah. Everybody said they're only going to announce iPhone stuff. Don't worry about it. But I went in and I can get a rebate for it, so I got, you know, like $200.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. That seems fair. Yeah. So you've been teaching again?
Yeah. During the summers, I'm teaching at Washtenaw Community College, which is the local community college. And they actually have a really good program for web design and development. Kind of very focused on user experience and accessibility and that sort of thing. And this semester, of course, you know, talk about the importance of accessibility and why you should make sure your site's accessible and not use, you know, an image for your whole site, blah, blah, blah. The students seemed to be really picking up on it and, like, thought that was pretty cool. Even though technically the syllabus says that you can create your site using tables or divs. Most of them are going for divs, even though it's harder because of accessibility. So I think I'm getting through to them.
Good, good. Sounds like they're grasping it well.
Yep, I hope so. Or maybe they're just trying to get a better grade.
Maybe. So that's where, isn't that where Deborah graduated from with that program?
Yeah, yeah. And
she's a fellow Refresh Detroit leader.
Yep, yep. And actually Dan Shields, too.
Was, oh, really?
Yep, Refresh Detroit commoner, I guess you'd say. Fellow leader also, yeah.
He went to that, he graduated with that program?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I think that's how he met Deborah the first time.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Is he living in Ann Arbor now? Do you know?
I think so. If not in Ann Arbor, close to it.
Yeah. Well, he's working in Ann Arbor now, I think.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's where Washtenaw Community College is, just outside. Or, well, it's in Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah.
Or is that Ipsy?
It's like right at the border of Ann Arbor and Ipsy.
Yeah. Speaking of, I will be in Ann Arbor July 18th. So we'll have to hook up. Maybe get together with some other web professionals. So if you're in the area, Southeast Michigan, that weekend, you know, send me an email or a tweet. That's the last day for the Ann Arbor Art Fair also, so I might try to hit that.
Great.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah, art fair and hit up a pub maybe.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's enough chatter. Let's move on to events and conferences.
WebEx. Yeah, so there's a lot of great accessibility-related conferences coming up, which is actually pretty cool because it seems like, from what I've seen, there aren't a whole lot of summer conferences to look forward to.
You know. Yeah, let's see. Actually, a couple of the events I marked already passed because it's because we delayed the podcast a little bit. But there seems to be a lot going on, so just keep an eye out for stuff. You know, we'll put a few links on the blog post. And there was a free webinar on making PDFs accessible a few days ago. And there was another live webinar on Word and Excel, making Word and Excel accessible by a gentleman named Dan Clark, who I've been communicating with on Twitter. He's from Freedom Scientific and does a lot of training, so he's a great guy. I think it's his handle on Twitter, I think, is just Dan Clark. I'm not positive, though. Anyways, what's coming up? Firstly, I'd like to announce that my proposal has been accepted to speak on Twitter and web accessibility for the Accessing Higher Ground conference in mid-November in Colorado. And, whoops, let's see. Yeah! I'll be speaking there again.
For those who don't know, we have a live studio audience that...
So I guess it's the 12th annual Accessing Higher Ground conference, Accessible Media, Web, and Technology conference. And last year it was pretty much on campus, like at the University of Colorado. But this year it's going to be in Westminster, Colorado, which is a little further out of Boulder. It's like southwest of Denver, just like half an hour or something. So if you can make it, you should come. It's a great conference. It's all about accessibility, and a lot on, you know, obviously like electronic computer kind of accessibility stuff mostly.
Well, congratulations on speaking again. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. It should be real cool. I can't wait to go. Colorado is always fun to visit.
Yeah. Beautiful state.
Yeah. I really dig the, Boulder like area and community. It's like Ann Arbor,
yeah.
Except for it's, I always thought it was just, it's like Ann Arbor, but like with mountains.
Right. I hear that a lot. Yeah. Kind of the whole college town atmosphere. very cool.
Yeah.
So you're going to be talking about building accessible Twitter or just making different options out there? And
well, mostly just about, like, the web accessibility issues on the Twitter website and then some, you know, ways, some ways that they could be fixed or improved. And then, talking about how accessibletwitter.com, you know, has resolved those issues and taken it further. So, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Okay, let's move on. July 20th and 21st. So that's coming up in, a month, is the IEEE Accessing the Future conference at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah, that's where my dad graduated.
Oh, great.
His undergraduate, yeah, Northeastern. But that was like 40 years ago. So.
Maybe you can come along and revisit the campus.
Yeah. But no, I'm not going. But yeah, so that's a huge conference. A lot of big people, you know, major players are going to that. I'm posting the link and the LinkedIn event page on the WebEx blog, so check it out. And that is sponsored by IBM. And who's going to be there? Judy Brewer from the W3C. And let's see, who else is there? Dr. Sheila Fesco, Program Manager from the National Center on Workforce and Disability. Mike Strack, Manager of Advanced Technology, IBM Human Ability and Accessibility Center. So, it sounds pretty promising.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of, it's got a good variety of different accessibility topics. They've got a whole section about workplaces and communities and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah. See, there's another guy from the Accessibility Architect and Strategist Software Group at IBM. Deborah Buck is from the Association of Assistive Technology ACT Programs. So there you go. Check it out. Next, 20th of November, Full Frontal JavaScript Conference. I'm not so sure how much this one's related to web accessibility, but it sounded like a good conference, and it sounds very affordable. It's £100 for one day in Brighton, UK. And it has a neat name, so.
Certainly gets your attention. our good friend Chris Heilman is speaking, which is cool.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if he's speaking, you gotta go.
Right, right.
So it's a little far for me, but actually, it's right after the other conference in Colorado. But anyways, yeah, so check that out. Like I said, it's 100 British pounds for one day, and that sounds like it's totally worth it. So that's it for events and conferences. Let's move on to the main segment.
WebEx.
So we're going to discuss more on Twitter and web accessibility. So just to start it off, I want to just give a few updates on what's going on with Accessible Twitter. So if you haven't tried it yet, go to accessibletwitter.com, and which is a web application I took on and developed since January. And yeah, it's getting really good feedback. And the usage is growing slowly. It's still in alpha. It's still in alpha stage. I'm trying to get it to beta, but I want to fix a few more issues that are kind of a pain in the rear. So, and then with all these crazy API and server issues going on with Twitter, it's like making my life kind of crappy.
They seem
to have fixed some of the issues in the last week, but you know, when they're fixing it, it's really rough. Like, it makes my application look bad.
Right. Yeah, it's like Twitter is gaining so much popularity and so much more usage you know, by everybody, like by normal people and by media and stuff like that, which is makes accessible Twitter that much more important because, you know, more and more people are going to want to use it. We need an accessible version. But yeah, they keep breaking stuff. So.
Yeah. I guess you got to break it before you can fix it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyways, but a few updates. I've added some Ajax. So, most recently for deleting direct messages, it's a nice little, yikes. Can you hear that?
A little bit, yeah. Everything okay?
Hey, I'm trying to do a podcast in here. Yikes. 3-year-olds. Hell yeah.
I thought that was just a sound effect.
No, that wasn't a sound effect, unfortunately. All right, so
well, you know, Twitter doesn't work. No.
Anyways, I added some Ajax for deleting direct messages. That was kind of a
Hijax method. Sorry? You use the Hijax method?
Of course.
Good.
And that was a suggestion by my good online buddy of late. This guy, Smiffy Tech, Matt, is a friend I've made on the web, and he's been great in helping me with accessible Twitter and doing, like, because he uses a lot and doing, like, you know, QA and stuff.
Okay.
He lives in, like, Southwest Australia or something. So, anyways, so thanks to him for doing a lot of work with that, and let's see, what else has been going on? I added a popular links page. And yeah, so if you go there, it shows you all the popular links that are being tweeted. And a day or two ago, I added categories to that. So you could select if you want, like, video or image links. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. And then I added the URL shortening feature to the direct messages page. Somebody requested that. And I added functionality to update your user profile. Well, not all of it, just like four fields right now. So it's, you know, you could update like your URL and your name and your like bio thing. And something else, I forget. So, and then in beta, when I'm in beta, I'm going to add some more to that, at minimum, like, you know, updating your icon and stuff, your avatar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyways, so yeah, so it's coming along, and I'm looking forward to beta, so hopefully it won't be too much longer. We'll see. Okay, moving on. So, accessible Twitter. We all know, well, most of us realize that the Twitter.com website has a lot of usability issues and even more accessibility issues, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is why I created AccessibleTwitter.com, and that's great. But I just thought we'd mention some other Twitter applications that, you know, that are accessible or at least more accessible than the website and AccessibleTwitter.com. So one alternative that you can do is use a in your desktop browser, if you so choose, you could use a mobile web application, a mobile Twitter web application. And they're growing. I'm not sure how many there are now, but I found four that were definitely worth mentioning that were really good. So these, you know, they're mobile web apps made for mobile devices, but you could obviously, because they're web apps, you could use your desktop browser. And, you know, they're real light and fast and simple and, you know, text-based, blah, blah, blah.
Huh, so what? Good idea.
Yeah. So one is just called Tweet with an E at the end, T-W-E-E-T-E. And they say it's an alternative to the mobile web and slander mobile clients. Slander is another one, S-L-A-N-D-R, and that one's pretty cool. There's another one called Twitstat Mobile, and then there's one called, Dabber. And, yeah, I think Dabber is one that was kind of pushing the accessibility thing. But anyways, so that's one way you can go if you want to try out some other accessible Twitter applications. You can try that and see how accessible they are. But they seem to be pretty cool little web apps, so. Or try them on your, you know, your mobile device. There's always mobile Twitter dot, you know, the mobile Twitter site, m.twitter.com. But that has some limited functionality, you know?
Yeah.
And these web mobile clients, they've added more functionality.
Okay.
So. Okay. The next alternative you can do is, this plugin for Microsoft Outlook. So if you're a Windows guy or gal, and you use Office, I feel bad for you. No, just kidding.
What do you do?
I like Outlook, actually. That's one of the few Microsoft applications I really like. I use it. I've been using it at work at multiple jobs for a long time. But anyways, there's this plugin for Outlook, and it's called Twinbox or TW Inbox. I'm not sure which way you pronounce it, but they relaunched the application and renamed it. And let's see, it is by TechHit, and it's pretty cool. Even if you know, it's for Outlook, and apparently it's accessible. But you know, anybody using Outlook can install it. I installed it on my work computer. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. And it treats your Twitter inbox like a mail inbox, kind of.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So, anybody you're following shows up, or is it just replies?
Yeah. No, all the people you're following, like, and it makes all the people you're following, like, if tweets come in, it creates, like, a subfolder.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it'll divide them up for you. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds pretty slick.
So it doesn't have all the functionality that, you know, a lot of the Twitter clients have, but it's real easy for tweeting and for, you know, organizing your incoming tweets and stuff. So, let's see. And Blind Twit, Jonathan Mosen, he's the one that interviewed me, for a podcast about accessible Twitter a month or two ago. He uses that all the time. He's a blind user, and he uses this plugin application all the time. If you go to look him up on Twitter, just Blind Twit is his handle. And he's a good follow too. I recommend him. Like, he's a real, he talks about all good stuff and technology and accessibility and stuff, so check it out. Okay, the last one I want to mention is called Tweet S60, and this is for Nokia devices. So it says, totally accessible Twitter mobile app for Nokia Series 60 devices. That's pretty much all I know, because I don't have... So if you have a Nokia device and you want an accessible Twitter client, go there. And Blind Twit, Jonathan Mosen, he tweeted about it, and AbilityNet also tweeted about it. So I'm assuming that it's a trusted source.
Huh. Well, maybe they'll expand it sometime to other devices, because that seems pretty limited range.
Yeah. Let's see. They should... I'm looking up the website. It's not a Nokia company or anything. RavenSoft? Is that your phone?
Yeah. That's just another sound effect.
Do you have an iPhone?
No, I've got a BlackBerry, because I'm on Verizon.
Yes. I'm on Verizon too, and I want out.
Myself as well, but I have at least like another year and a half or something.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I was thinking about even paying the cancellation, early termination fees. Anyways, I have a Bold for work, and that's pretty cool. Which one do you have?
You got the Curve.
Which Curve?
It's like the, 8300?
Oh, okay. 8330 or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those are decent. The 8900, though, if you wanted to, the 8900 is, the newer one is really cool.
Yeah, I've heard that, and actually, now that there's a new version of the software, I hear the Storm is actually all right.
I don't like the Storm.
Oh, really?
the Bold is what you want. Well, the 8900 is pretty awesome, but because it's small, so small and light, like it's not as powerful as the Bold. The Bold is a little bigger, but the keys are more friendly. They're bigger, and it has 3G, and the processor is faster. But the 8900 doesn't have 3G, and you know, and the keys are real small. But anyways, we went off on a tangent, so let's get back to what we're talking about. Accessibility issues with Twitter. So there's there's one issue. There was an article I found on Dig, and that's accessibility issues with the Twitter background. Because a lot of people are using a Twitter background now for not only design but putting a lot of information on there, on the background image. So just be aware, that could be an accessibility issue if you're not supplying that information in a different format, a text-based format.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I read it and it seemed so obvious, but it could also be easy to kind of forget about.
Exactly.
Put instructions or descriptions of what the Twitter account's used for in the background without really realizing that you're kind of alienating a group of people.
Yeah.
I mean, even just like smaller screen resolutions where that gets covered up.
And Twitter's website, they're not addressing these accessibility issues, at least right now, and so they're certainly not going to address this issue.
Right.
You know, because there's no way, even if you wanted to input this information, like on accessible Twitter, if you go to to the user details page, I have placed a link to the background image so you can view it, but I've noted on there that, there's no alternative text for this image because there's no way of inputting alternative text into the Twitter databases, So, anyways, just be aware of that issue and be careful. Make sure that the information you want to put there is accessible in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, you could have your website link point to, the important information where you can make it accessible.
Yeah. Good point. Another issue is the CAPTCHA. So I even had a user email me and say they can't use accessibletwitter.com because they can't sign up on twitter.com because the CAPTCHA was blocking them.
Gotcha.
So it was broken for a while. It was like not even giving the audio portion of the was giving you like the incorrect information than what you're supposed to type in.
Yikes, that's a pretty major CAPTCHA fail.
Tell me about it. So, yeah, it was pretty sad. But apparently they fixed it now. I think they switched to a different service. What is it, CAPTCHA RE or something?
Yeah, ReCAPTCHA or whatever, which actually is
ReCAPTCHA.
A decent one, from what I can tell.
Yeah, so apparently that's fixed. But the article, it's called Twitter quietly fixes broken audio capture. So they finally fixed it, and they just, did it really quietly. And I don't know if they, I assume they were embarrassed about it, but
right.
At least I hope they were.
Yeah, they should be.
So that article, it's a pretty good article, but yeah, I'm looking at this article. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 10 paragraphs with no subheadings. I mean, the paragraphs aren't big, but anyways, this is one of the examples.
Right. We talked about accessibility, but not in a very accessible way.
And that is, let's just give this, the Blind Access Journal is the site that that's on. It's a blogger site, like WebEx. Okay, last issue, software change makes Twitter more accessible for the visually impaired, CAPTCHA to recapture. So this is basically the same issue. This is from the Tech Chronicles, and why did I list this one? I guess it's just another article reiterating that point. Oh no, my bad. Yeah, it's pretty much the same point. And they're talking about Lighthouse is a website for the blind and visually impaired, and they were requesting that, you know, this about the same issue and fixing that. So it's making more noise. So cheers to them for doing that.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, now, I think we have time left for just a couple news items or links to discuss. Adopting WCAG 2 from Dingo Access. So this is a neat little article discussing which countries and what laws or guidelines have been updated using WCAG 2, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, which were updated, in December?
Yep.
Officially? And apparently the first country to do it was to adopt it as a general requirement is New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty, you know, I thought like the UK and other countries were you know, progressive with web accessibility, but New Zealand seems to be one of the leaders too.
Yeah, it seems like they come up quite a lot, so it's great.
Yeah.
I think the U.S. could take note.
Yeah, actually, I put a comment on there saying, like, when's Section 508 going to be updated?
Right.
It'll take it forever.
Yeah,
I know that.
When was it last updated?
It's never been updated, I don't think.
Oh, really? It's still on revision 1?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I think. From, 1999.
Right. Well, so it's still that, you know, the web doesn't change or anything.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's good that the web moves so slowly that they can take their time.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's 10 years old. Details.
So some other countries that were adopting the WCAG 2 are Canada and the EU, Netherlands, UK, Belgium, and Japan are the countries listed. In Belgium, web accessibility requirements are contained in a document called Any Surfer. Blah, 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 blah. That's funny. However, I understand they're trying to follow the spirit of WCAG 2 with particular reference to the specific assistive technologies used in Belgium. That one doesn't sound too good. But the other ones sound good.
Yeah. No, it's being used.
All right. Yeah. So that was a neat. That was a neat article that came out.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice, quick read, and kind of lets
you
know who's doing work there. So.
All right. Let's talk about the Smashing Mag article.
Yeah, 10 ways to make your site accessible using web standards. So I was kind of excited to see this pop up because I know Smashing Mag gets tons of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
and they have great articles.
Yeah, so it's great that they're writing about accessibility and getting some interest in it. And the articles, it's well written. It's got some good tips. They had a few things that I kind of wondered about, and then wanted to get your opinion. Did you read through it?
Yeah, I did because when it first came out, Jared Smith and some other folks, including myself, started picking it apart, so to speak. Because they, like I said, Smashing Mag has great articles, but this is unfortunately one of the few that don't fit in that category, I think.
Yeah. The whole list, sort of, right? But the one thing they said that caught my attention is they said your title, the title of your page, like if it's, you know, the title of the document, that should be repeated in all your headlines, which seemed weird.
Huh?
Yeah. So if, you know, if it was like, you know, Podcast 72, Twitter and Lots of News, you'd have Twitter and Lots of News in every H1 and then the rest of the headline, and that seemed kind of strange.
Huh.
And there's another example. They said under navigation, if you use an image, that alt text isn't enough. You should use alt text for the image and then actual text too. But that would just have it repeat it. You know, the example they give is, you know, like an H2 that has the logo and the alt text is Smashing Magazine, and then the actual text is Smashing Magazine, so it's just going to say Smashing Magazine twice.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be in there twice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they had some pretty good general guidelines. I think the biggest issue I had is, like, the article was mistitled. You know, it wasn't really about web accessibility. It was more about just web standards.
Right.
And they did have several, you know, little guffaws, you know, little errors here and there, which Jared Smith and others commented about. There's like 167 comments or something. So, yeah. So, Jared Smith of WebAIM, our friend over there, wrote a fairly long comment with, explaining some stuff. So that was cool. Yeah. And let's see, who else? Patrick Lauk, I think, put a nice comment in there, and I put a comment in there and just suggested, you know, that they need to rewrite this thing. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Everybody was ripping on it. I think Joe Dulson got into it too. But yeah, like I said, it's, and somebody mentioned too, you know, it was a good effort, but, you know, it's pretty much, you know, they should have cross-checked it a little better, I think, their information, and you know, maybe titled it better or something, because it just, something wasn't right.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, it talks more about web standards. You know, it says, use only lowercase tags and attributes. You know, which is great, but
right.
Really doesn't have anything to do with web accessibility, per se.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, and properly escape JavaScript.
Right.
So yeah, that's good, but you know, that really doesn't have anything to do directly with web accessibility. It's right. More web standards.
Yeah. And the meta tags too.
Oh yeah. Supply proper meta tags.
Yeah.
Right. What is that? Yeah. Well, you get the idea.
Right.
Define the namespace in default language. Okay, default language, but
right.
Names, you know, namespace, not really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, like I said, Smashing Magazine overall is awesome. They got lots of great articles. Except for this one. Alright, that's all I have.
Yep, I think I'm spent.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's enough for today. That was a fun episode. So I hope you enjoyed it, and just to remind you again, check out the Accessing Higher Ground conference in November, where I'll be speaking on web accessibility and Twitter. And let's see, what else? Give us feedback on the WebAx theme song.
Follow us
and on Twitter. Yeah, and if you're in Southeast Michigan area in mid-July, July 18th, go to the Ann Arbor Art Fair and then tweet me, and maybe we could hook up. You can hook up with me and Ross.
Yeah, we'll have a impromptu
tweet up,
web design tweet up someplace in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, a WebAx tweet up. I like that.
Sounds good.
And if you haven't yet, try out AccessibleTwitter.com and maybe some of those other accessible Twitter apps, if you want. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
You will find the WebEx podcast and blog at webex.blogspot.com. That's WEBAXE.blogspot.com.